Hello, folks. This is Neil Adams, and this is Fanboy Factor. I don't know if there are any boys around here, but I am talking to a couple of men.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Fanboy Factor. I'm Brian Isaacs. With me, as always, Mike Hopkins, JQ, Mike Sanchez, and Khalil Kota, editor of Caster's Corner.
Yo. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
No.
Well, it's that time of year when thousands of fanboys and fangirls take over downtown San Diego. Yes, I'm talking about Comic-Con. This episode, we're going to try and help you guys prepare and try and give you an idea of what to expect when you're actually there. First off, let's talk about some prep tips that can help you out. Just some general stuff. First off, I think everybody can agree, but you got to have everything planned. This is a huge comic convention. This is not one of your local things. There are constantly panels, signings, autographing, photo ops going on. So you really got to go through that list on that Comic-Con website and go through it and see what you want to hit and not hit. I know they just also added their own app, which is going to make it a lot easier for, you know, keeping on your phone and stuff.
I mean, I've never been to a big one like this before. I've gone to a couple smaller ones like New Orleans and Orlando and Miami when I used to live down there. But yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's going to be a big name artist there, I would say get there early, get out of the way. That way, you know, you can meet your artist and get that done.
I would like to say, you know, jump on your back about this, you know, piggyback on yours. If you're going to get stuff signed, for God's sakes, please have it prepped and ready. There's nothing more annoying than when you're standing in line, the guy in front of you has 20 issues to sign, and he doesn't bother to take them out of the bags. It speeds up the entire process if you just take it out of the bag before you hit there. I don't know about anybody else, but I just find that extremely frustrating.
I find the red wagons more annoying when you see guys coming with boxes and that little red wagon flyers, and they have to go through the boxes and go ahead and open up the bag and boards. It's just beyond annoying.
And you could also tell which guys are comic dealers or not. They're the ones who carry, 50 issues of one issue?
Yeah.
50 copies of one issue. Yeah, make them all out to eBay.
Okay. Yeah.
I think, Brian, you're making some good points. I think one of the things that I think we need to really stress is that it's not just a big con. It is the con of the year. And looking at the schedule and planning things out on the website ahead of time is going to save you some time. But I don't think I think there's a lot more stuff that people need to do as far as prepping and getting ready for the con, especially if it's the first time they've ever been to San Diego before.
Right.
It's a whole different ballgame that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Well, Khalil, you go every year, right? So tell a rookie, give a rookie your insight of what should be. I mean, because they're probably going to try to buy up more than they can chew. I mean, is it simple, stupid? I mean, how do you do it if you're a rookie?
I mean, this is going to be my fifth year, and I've got the advantage, of course, of covering the con and not really going as a regular person, and just kind of seeing things from their eyes of just a big fanboy going to seeing all these things. So it's a little bit different for me, but some of the tips I've picked up is one of the things that happens, and this happens at all cons, is the schedule changes daily. It, in fact, sometimes changes hourly. And one of the nice things that San Diego Comic-Con does is that every morning at almost every entrance that you go to, they've got a little newsstand set up. And at the newsstand, they've got a newspaper set up for the day's programs. So you can check there and see where everything is. So if you've got your schedule for the 4 days planned out, you can go there and make sure the rooms that they have listed on their website are going to be okay. And one of the things Brian brought up was that they have an app this year. I'm not sold on the app yet. New York Comic Con has tried an app. I think San Diego's tried the app before. The problem is The cell towers and the Wi-Fi are completely stretched to the max. So having access to up-to-date information through one of those apps is going to be really difficult. And that's one of the most frustrating things about going to the cons and trying to stay updated, is that it's nearly impossible. Even on personal Wi-Fi networks, I have access to some of the other ones that are there, some of the companies set up for the press, and even those are stretched to the max. So it's difficult keeping updated, but Brian's right. You should, you know, pick something, make your schedule ahead of time, and make sure you know what you're going to go see, and then know that you're probably not going to get into everything you want to see. So come up with a few things that are really, really important to you, because you might be in line all day for one or two things.
Right. And I know a lot of, if you're looking for autographs from on the comic side of things, definitely check out the publishers' websites, because a lot of them are publishing what their schedules are. So they may have author X, Y, and Z at these certain times, so you know you can choose different times. And also check on see if, you know, if you're looking for a specific artist mainly, check to see if they have a web page, because they'll list their usually what their personal schedule is, like how long they'll be at, if they have a thing at Artist Alley, if they'll be at booth, you know, booth A for publisher A, or booth or another booth for publisher B, because some of these, you know, a lot of these guys work across companies. So it's best to check a lot of schedules.
The other thing is some of the bigger companies and some of the bigger names that are signings also have autograph sessions. And in that case, sometimes you have to get a ticket. So you also want to try to keep up to date and find out where you need to go. Saying it just in general, there's a place called the Pavilion at San Diego Comic-Con, and there's an information booth about autographs up there that you can usually check out and maybe get your ticket sometimes for autograph signings. And that's something that a lot of cons don't do. So it's something when you get there, it's kind of jarring. It's a surprise. You may be standing in line for an hour and then realize you don't have a ticket, and they'll just kick you right out of line. So there's no there's some give here and there, but it's such a big con that they're not going to bend rules for people either.
Right. You know, another good tip, try and carry some water and some snacks with you. I personally always have done this. I keep a camping bottle attached to my bag. Mainly, you know, I can't say I've been to San Diego Comic-Con, but at New York Comic-Con is so isolated, they want to charge you $4 for a single bottle of soda, whereas if I just have the water bottle, I can just go fill it up for cheap. And, you know, same with the snacks. Bring stuff that has protein in it. That's, you know, what I'm going to suggest, because you're going to need that energy. You know, energy bars, anything with peanuts in it is good, you know, to keep your energy up, because you just don't want to, yeah, pass out pretty much.
Yeah, the difference, though, with San Diego Comic-Con, and it's one of the better things about the convention center there, is it's not isolated like in New York. The Javits Center is pretty isolated. There's not much around it. I think there's like a McDonald's two blocks away.
Three,
okay.
Yeah, actually, out of all the conventions, New York Comic-Con is the only one that is isolated. I've been to several different ones, you know, large and small scales, but New York, you know, for some reason, they do not make it easy to get to the Javits Center. But, you know, it's, we're not talking about New York Comic-Con right now, but yeah, it's, but still, you know,
no,
if you do have the snacks, I mean, it's easier to wait in line sometimes, you know.
It is. It's easier. It's nice. It's definitely nicer than the other places. And the nice thing about San Diego Comic-Con is you're right next to the gas lamp district. So there's a lot of little convenience stores. There's a lot of CVSs. There's a lot of drugstores. There's a lot of different little places you can go that aren't going to gouge you on prices. And you're going to be able to, I guess they're promoting this year that if you wear your badge outside the convention center, they're going to be giving you some deals at some of those restaurants. Comic-Con's website has a listing of the restaurants that are participating. But even so, there's so many different places to eat, and there's so many places, different places to go. There's even a Westfield shopping plaza about 10 blocks away, I want to say. It's not that bad of a walk. It's a little further out into the middle of downtown, and they've got a food court, and they've got food there. They've got some excellent restaurants. And look for just the little pop-up burger stands and little restaurants that are just popping up. those are some of the best places to eat. And I try to try something different every year. And I try to hit some of those burger places and just look, just grab a Google map, you know, open up your phone if you have a smartphone, and just look for something special or just walk around. And you'll find some really good places that aren't that busy either. If you try to hit them at, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, they're going to be packed. Everybody's drinking. But during the day, there's a lot of food within a block of Comic-Con's convention center that you don't have to be forced to pay the $9 for a hot dog and the $7 for a soda unless you're really, really desperate. So there's a lot of great places just in the area, and even for shopping too. And you don't have to get all your stuff at Comic-Con. There's a couple stores here and there that sell some cool stuff that help promote Comic-Con too.
I mean, Jason, you could probably back me up on this next one, but obviously if you're going to be dealing with vendors, try and bring smaller bills. I always find out that really helps the vendors a lot because everybody's hitting up the ATM. Everybody only has a 20. I like to get my cash in advance personally. I go to the bank, get mainly singles, and I've always got appreciation. You know, the vendors are like, thank you for having small bills.
Yes.
Yeah, no, yes. It's always important. I mean, not Comic-Con's different, so there are a lot of booths that will take debit cards and ATM and credit cards.
The Square program has revolutionized, I think, like garage sale and even at the cons, the booths, because all of our phones had a Square reader, so every corner of our booth we were able to take the Square. I know Greg Horn, that's how he does most of his prints. Hey, give me your debit card, Square, swipe, 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 and you get your print signed, you're done.
Yeah, a lot of places are accepting that now. So, but it's always good to have cash on you because you might see something small here or there. You might be able to get a deal on stuff saying, you know, especially on Sunday, go to a booth and say, you know, I got, you know, $25 on me. This is $35. I got cash right here. Will you do it? So that might get you a little farther too sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, definitely if you're dealing with vendors, always try and wait till Sunday because these vendors don't want to bring all this stuff home either.
And yeah,
amen.
They are a little bit more flexible on negotiation on that day.
Yeah, not to jump the gun a little bit on some of the stuff, but a lot of the vendors also have a lot of the exclusives from the show on sale during the show. And while the general rule I usually say is buy stuff on Sunday from vendors, sometimes the exclusives are better to get preview night or Thursday when they're fresh and the prices haven't gone off. Because I've seen vendors do something at San Diego that maybe they do at other ones, but I haven't seen it happen as often as I do at San Diego. If I buy something from a vendor and he's got five of them, he'll sell me one for $20. The next one is $30. I'll see him change the price tag. So the next one in line is $30. So,
I've seen that. I've actually seen that at several cons. People do that.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, pick your spots. Stuff that's sitting, stuff that's really large, stuff that you know isn't going up in value, or sometimes they just want to get rid of, might be great to grab on Sunday. Stuff that might be hot or you might see gaining some steam as the con goes on, you might want to pick up earlier rather than later.
Yeah, Mike and I saw that a lot at New Orleans where they were changing prices left and right. And to piggyback on what y'all said about the vendors, yeah, I mean, we don't want to take the stuff home. I mean, that's more time to unpack and reset. I mean, again, Mike can speak for me when I say this. I mean, we had it down to a science. We had the whole booth broke down quick, but still, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people want to always go ahead and wait till Sunday. You know, they want to try and get those last-minute deals they can possibly get around. But it just depends on, you know, what the item is and, you know, where you've been through. I mean, if you buy stuff from one vendor, a couple things, you know, maybe a figure, you know, a print, you know, some stuff like that, come back later on to that same vendor versus, you know, something bigger, I mean, you will find a better deal because, you know, they may remember you. But you know, it, just like Khalil said, I mean, if you see something that you know is, you know, either hard to get, rare, or, you know, and you see that very first day, I mean, you know, I myself would have done that before. I just grabbed it. I mean, maybe you'll see it at another vendor for $5 cheaper, but at least you ensure you're going to get exactly what you want. And then, you know, and then later on look for, you know, the little things that you were looking for as well.
I mean, that's how I got my All-Star Batman. I mean, I walked the floor before the thing opened. in New Orleans. Somebody goes, $20. Gave it to him right there because we didn't get the shot. It was shorted. So I was like, mine, right now. Give it to me. But, I mean, most of the stuff, we wait. I mean, I've never been to San Diego, so I can't really tell you how I would play the game. But, I mean, judging by what I've heard from Khalil and Brian, I just don't know how people do it, how people sit in that line and get all that stuff.
It's a marathon. It's a marathon, and especially, I mean, this isn't the kind of con. I mean, we're lucky enough, Brian and I, him in New Jersey, me in Connecticut, we're lucky enough that we're close enough to New York that we can go into the city for a day and cover it on, you know, Thursday and then come back on Friday. San Diego is so big that you've got people from everywhere, so most people are there for almost every day.
Yep.
So it is definitely one that'll wear you down. And, you know, sometimes those little things that you get a deal on here or there, that it keeps you going some days too. So it's fun. I mean, I'm saying it's a lot of work. It's a marathon, and it's sometimes it can be grueling. But at the end of the day, it is one of the most fun time of the year for people like us.
Yeah. And speaking of wearing down, I know a lot of people are going to think this is a joke. But please, for the love of God, don't contribute to the con funk. Shower and deodorant. It's so simple, for the love of God.
Well, people say that the
let me people speak say on...
Go ahead.
Sorry, let me speak on this. Let me explain to people the difference between antiperspirant and deodorant. Deodorant only covers up the smell. Antiperspirant protects you against stinky-ass smells. So make sure
unless
you
buy... Unless you're Wolfman Sanchez.
Exactly. And you're $3... goes a long way. It's not like you're going to miss that $3. Buy a stick of antiperspirant deodorant. Degree makes a perfect one. Dry protection. Use it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people think everybody here in San Diego is like the perfect weather. You know, it's 70, it's beautiful. There have been years coming from Connecticut, it's hot, it's humid here, I'm dying. I go to San Diego, I get out of the airport, and you know what? It is just as hot and just as humid there. And I think that a lot of people forget about that or don't know about it. I mean, the weather is beautiful. It's not usually rainy. It's usually pretty sunny. It's pretty warm. But the weather and having 250,000 people in an enclosed space for a long time, you know, the air conditioners can only do so much. And people do. I mean, it's one of the things. Bring things that you can eat. It's going to keep you going. Bring things that are going to keep you clean. And, you know, just help. You know, just be very mindful that you're going to be standing in long lines and you're going to be sitting in panels and you're going to be in close proximity. And just be considerate of everybody around you. And I think that's one of the most important things to remember when you go to these cons.
Yeah, and, like you said, it's an all-day thing. Definitely dress comfortably. Whatever shoes, it's, I can understand it's a little hard for the cosplay players to do that, but you know, if you're just a regular con goer, you might as well just be comfortable in what you're wearing.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself. I mean, have a good time. You're in warm weather, dress for it, you know, dress appropriately, be ready to go and just have a good time. I mean, that's one of the most important things.
And, please don't get creepy with the booth babes either.
Mike Sanchez.
Yeah, they don't want to date you. They want to sell you stuff, please.
Yeah, stop and boys. You know, a lot of them are really nice. And even the cosplayers and the people that dress up for the masquerade ball and for the contests and stuff. Everybody's there to have a good time, and just remember that. And if you know, take your pictures, have your fun, but just be respectful of everybody around you.
Yeah, and always ask. I find it's always nice to ask the, booth babes and cosplays people that, you know, if I could take a picture of you.
And let me just piggyback on that one. If you are taking pictures, one of my biggest pet peeves when I go to the convention is you've got a cattle row of people trying to go down an aisle. Don't stop somebody with a costume in the middle of an aisle and there's 300 people trying to get by you and trying to take pictures. Go off to the side, find an open space. Try to get to a quieter space and step over to the side and take pictures, because once one person takes a picture, 50 people want to take a picture, and you just cause traffic jams. And that can get annoying and it can be a problem, especially when people are trying to get from place to place and people are rushing around. It could be dangerous sometimes.
Yeah, it's it's one of my pet peeves too. And then as a camera, as a person trying to take that picture, if you stop in the middle of something, you run the risk of being, not getting the shot you want.
Or trampled.
Yeah, or trampled. Yeah, that too.
So there's a lot going on.
Unless you're me and 12 Batman, Aquaman's high.
And you trample people.
Exactly. Clearly, you've been to what number Comic-Con is this for you again? Was it fifth?
This is my fifth San Diego Comic-Con.
Can you tell our listeners, what they might expect from like moment one to the end?
The one thing that you have to just accept is lines. I mean, there's lines after lines after lines. The security guards that are running all the lines, they are, in general, I'd say not the friendliest ones I've seen at cons. They like their power, and they like to make sure that you're following their rules. So you can be told by one to go here and one to go there, and you're stuck in the middle. So it's just patience. So be patient. Have your schedules ready. Go from place to place. Understand that you might not get into everything that you want to see. One of the problems that a lot of people run into is some people, they don't clear the rooms in between panels. Some cons do it. San Diego does not. The rooms are big enough in a lot of cases. So if you want to go to a panel that's at 7 o'clock at night, like I usually like to go to the Fables panel, check what panels are in that room before and after. Because if there's something big deal after your panel, you may not get into the room because people are squatting in that room for 3-4 panels ahead of time. So just because you think you're early does not mean you're getting in. And one of the other things is look for panels that might not jump off the page. Everybody's going to want to go to Hall H and see the Captain America and Thor panel. Everybody's going to want to go to Ballroom 20 and see like Psych or True Blood or any of the big TV shows. Those rooms, Ballroom and the Hall H, are massive. Hall H is one of the biggest rooms I've ever been in. And sitting in the back, it feels like you're in a football stadium. So those are almost impossible. You might have to camp out the entire day, sometimes at night, just to get into those panels. But smaller panels that might not have a lot going on might be the ones to get into. I went to the DC Universe online panel 4 years ago or 3 years ago, I think. And I was waiting for another panel and I looked up and you've got Jeff Johns and Jim Lee and Marv Wolfman and Len Wein, and you've got all these comic icons sitting up there, and the place is empty because it's about something that nobody had any clue about. And I got to walk right up and say hi to all the guys at the panel, at the end of the panel. There were no lines. It was just walk in, relax. So sometimes some of the smaller panels are going to surprise you too. Those are the big things for me that I would say that I would point out for people that are going for the first day, and check those daily schedules every day. Make sure in the morning when you get there, check your schedules.
Definitely.
So one of the other things that, I'm excited about are the exclusives at the show. But those also cause just as many headaches as the panels do. For guys like us, I think two of the big booths that we're going to hit are Mattel and Hasbro. They have instituted some programs to alleviate the lines because the security will cap the lines. If the lines are too long, they will simply kick you out, and they will not let you get back in line until they feel the lines are short enough. So Hasbro and Mattel have instituted, at least in the past, I'm sure they're going to do it again, a ticketing program where you have to go to another section of the convention, and it changes every year. Graffiti Design does this too for their DC Direct exclusives. You will either get a card, a ticket, or a wristband with a time and a date on it. So every morning you have to go up, like let's say to the promenade, get your wristband for Graffiti Designs, and they will tell you when to report to the booth. And you can only purchase from those booths with those tickets. If you do not have a ticket, you cannot purchase from those booths. Other places like NECA, Mezco, Trying to think of some of the other ones. Let's see. I think like Super 7, smaller booths. You can usually walk right up Action Figure Express. Entertainment Earth is usually another long line, but I don't believe they're doing ticketing, or they have it in the past. So just beware of how to get your exclusives from the con before you get into some of those long lines. But what are you guys looking forward to for exclusives?
Well, I know, to piggyback on you real quick, Khalil, I know if you are a subscription holder of DC Infinite Earths or the Master Universe subscription, I believe you got a special email that allowed you to pre-purchase a fast pass to buy any of the exclusives that Mattel was offering.
Well, Mattel had a pre-purchase. So some of the stores like Mezco and Mattel, you can pre-purchase the items from their website. I think Mezco is sending them out, but Mattel, you can pick them up on site, and they are doing the fast pass too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, personally for me, I mean, when I saw the Batuzzi Batman, I was like, wow, I gotta have that. But then they announced the Hugo Strange from the Arkham Asylum, Arkham City game, and yeah. I changed my mind very quickly to that was my con purchase this year, is the Hugo Strange, and was so graciously able to get that taken care of for me.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is some people have people that will stand in line. So if you have a friend, maybe they'll stand in line. They'd rather stand in line to get their exclusives. I know I have a friend of mine that will stand in line because covering the con, I just don't have time to stand in line for some of the toys, some of the exclusives there. So some of the harder ones to get, I probably will get them. I've bought from vendors too, you know, an hour or two after the con opens. Walk up right to a vendor and maybe pay $10, $20 more depending on the item, and it's easier than standing in line for 4 hours to try to get your exclusives. What is everybody else looking forward to?
I mean, I'm looking, besides the Hugo Strange, which you know, I'm also looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to the Thunderbolt set. You know, not as much as the Hugo Strange, which is kind of weird because, you know, you're getting five figures in the Thunderbolt set. Because honestly, you know, I already have a Crossbones, I have a custom Luke Cage, but you know, getting a Satana, Ghost, and Moonstone is gonna be, you know, they all look great. You know, it's been really a while we've been waiting for some of these guys to come out. So I'm waiting for those two. And the only one that I'm going to wait for, and if I see it on eBay or, you know, at my comic book store, the Jay and Silent Bob exclusive Black and White Mini Mates. I mean, I'm a huge Jay and Silent Bob fan, so it'd be kind of cool to just have that on my computer, you know, just to have out there to look at.
Hopkins, what about you?
I'm looking forward to My Little Pony with the music box.
Those go for a good amount of money. I mean, we can laugh all we want about them, but those have a good aftermarket price. I mean, some people do that too, where they'll pick up two exclusives and they'll flip one to help pay for the trip. So
I'm just a little disappointed with Hasbro this year because their exclusives are very limited. I am looking forward to the Bubba Fett, but I will not be getting the G.I. Joe pack, because they're not doing a single figure this year. They're only doing the big pack.
Yeah, they switch it up every year. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I for one can't. It's harder to rationalize those big ticket items where you're paying $100, but, I mean, you're getting a Jeep, you're getting a Jet, you're getting a bunch of figures. So it's nice. It would have been nice if some of those figures were packed other places. But you're right.
But they're all repaints.
They're all repaints. But the Baroness has a nice sculpt, the head.
Yeah, she's the only figure out of the set that actually is worth buying, but I would have rather seen her in a single pack rather than, because I'm not going to pay $100 for a single figure. I mean, I've already got the Jet. It's just a repaint with some extra stuff added to it. The Jeep is from the 25th anniversary series, and it comes with, again, another Snake Eyes. Like, we need, you know, 50 Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the one guy is a Budo repaint, and, you know, oh, and it comes with the little boombox. I mean, okay. I mean, you know, the boombox might be pretty cool just to have as an accessory, but in the end, I mean, is it really worth the $100 to get it?
But I think that's the perfect thing about a Comic-Con exclusive. I think that's what makes it perfect, people that really, really want it are going to buy it. And when they buy it, it's a big ticket item and it's a big win for Hasbro. But it's not essential. It's not like the way Mattel screwed over fans a couple years ago with Gleek. I mean, that is and always will be one of the biggest screw-ups in their history. I mean, among all the other things that they've done wrong. That's one of the bigger ones. Because you're making something that is essential to that pick, you know, that package, having a figure that's only available at Comic-Con, and when if you don't buy it at Comic-Con, you buy it online later, but it's missing, you know, the third essential piece. So having a set like the G.I. Joe one, I know you're saying it's a big ticket item, it's harder for you to rationalize buying it, you're probably going to skip it. It's also a perfect Comic-Con because it's not going to piss off as many fans by saying, oh my God, it's something I have to have to complete my collection, and without it, I'm never going to buy another Hasbro thing again. It's a nice little nod to the past, the people that grew up with Greatest American Hero. It is a nod to, you know, everything that goes on with G.I. Joe and Transformers, and a nice little crossover. It's a nice little bow they put at the end because they've done this. This is the third year they're doing it, but it's not an essential piece. And I think that that's what makes it so much better as a Comic-Con exclusive, because it's not like they're holding your collection ransom like some other companies do with their Comic-Con exclusives. What do you think?
Piggybacking off what you said there, Khalil, I mean, doing that with Hugo Strange is sort of the same thing. I mean, like in the past, it was a, you know, a sickened variant of the Joker or a variation color of Batman, you know, but to throw in a figure that everyone's been asking for since, you know, nobody wanted a Deadshot, they wanted Hugo Strange. So, right. I mean, that kind of made me mad that it had, I mean, that's why I told, you know, some people, I need that Hugo Strange. I mean, I to have my collection. If you collect Batman like I do, I mean, that's an essential part of your collection. Because, A, he was only made one time, and he was made with a Batman suit attached to it, not his traditional outfit. So, mm-hmm. B, this is needed for your collection. And so, if you can't go to San Diego like myself, living in Mississippi, then you're kind of boned.
But, I mean, I could be wrong, but has DC Collectibles come out and say, this is a one-and-done figure? It's going to be at the con. It's not going to be anywhere else. And if you don't come to the con, you're not going to get it.
I'm almost positive it's going to be, but they haven't gone on record saying that. But I will stake my claim of knowing their track record, it's going to be a one-and-done.
Right, but at least from my memory, their exclusives that don't sell out at Comic-Con then go up on their website that you can purchase. I know that the previous 3 3/4 Green Lantern sets have gone up on their website. They do travel to the other cons, so you have the opportunity if you go to one of the other larger cons. And I know not everybody can do that either. But having the option to buy it on the website after the show, whatever remaining stock they have, or buying it at a different con is also an option. So giving fans the option to get it other places, but premiering it and primarily selling it in San Diego, again, I don't think it, you know, I understand that your frustration about it, but I don't think it's as bad as some of the other companies and what they do.
I mean, it's a roll of dice, though. I mean,
yeah.
It is a roll of dice.
You take that chance of saying, I'm going to wait for it to go onto a secondary store or a secondary website or another convention. It's a big gamble because if you don't get it when it comes out, you're going to be probably forced playing a very, very inflated price. I know most of the secondary stores, online stores, super inflate the prices because they know people want them.
No, they do. But, I mean, even though you're probably rolling the dice at a different con or picking up online afterwards, you're also rolling the dice at the convention because that's going to be sold at the Graffiti Design booth, I believe, again this year. And they are very strict. If you don't have a badge, you don't get a figure. You don't get a chance to stand in line. You can go to their booth and buy any of their shirts, buy any of their previous con exclusives. But if you want any of the current con exclusives, you need a badge. And you've got to go up to the booth and get your badge. And if they're all out of badges for the day, it's just as much of a crapshoot there as it would be finding it at a different con.
Come on, Sanchez.
We're no sneaking badges.
That's what I want Sanchez to say.
Oh, Lord.
So, what about you, Brian? What exclusives are you looking forward to?
Well, like Sanchez, I'm also looking forward to the Jay and Silent Bob Minimates.
Whoop whoop!
You know, from what I'm reading, it's supposed to be the first in a series, which is the introduction of the series, so I do hope it sells well. And I'm glad they're in black and white. I know I'm going to get made fun of, but I'm looking forward to the Snoopy sumo plush set. I like Snoopy. What can I tell you guys?
What else?
Yeah, and this one should come as a no shocker to anybody. The ugly dolls, even though they are Hello Kitty.
All right. I mean, there's good pro. I mean, everybody likes something different. I'm sure Sanchez would be thrilled with My Little Pony at some point.
Hell yeah.
See, there you go. What else, Brian? I know there's something else on your list.
Actually, there isn't, because I've gone through the list.
Nobody's mentioned...
I haven't said anything yet. I got a big list.
Yeah, you usually do. I took a look at the other Minimate sets, and, you know, it's an all-Wolverine set. I'll pass. The Lost in Space, you know, nice nostalgia, but I'm really not into it. And The Walking Dead, and not my thing. So it's just... You know, that's pretty much it for me. I'm going back and forth on Super 7's, you know, alien reaction figures. I do kind of like that. That would be a cool set to get because, you know, all that retro packaging, the so-called Kenner look to it is kind of cool. What about yourself?
Going back on that, one of our friends has a place called Improbable Cast, and he did some of the opening designs, I think, for some of the Predators. I don't know if they for the aliens. So I saw some of the stuff early on. It looks really cool. So I kind of want to see how the production pieces came out from Super 7. Hopkins, what were you going to say that nobody mentioned before I get to mine?
The Walking Dead Governor, Bloody Governor in the riot suit set.
Yeah, that looks like a fun one. It does. It really does.
I will say one thing. The one that I forgot that I was also interested in was Toynami, I think it is. Toynami's doing the Akuma plush, but as Hello Kitty.
Oh yeah, the street fight. Yeah,
they're fun. Those are kind of fun. Those are a lot of fun to do. Those.
Yeah,
I
forgot
things.
About that one. Sorry, I just.
I always knew you were into stuffed animals, Mikey.
Does your mother tell you everything we do?
For me, I think it goes back to my childhood. So as much as I hate to say, you know, I'm getting Mattel products, I'm getting the Rock Warriors. They were some of my favorite toys as a kid. But those have been pre-ordered, and those will be picked up by one of our writers, Junior, at the show. Also looking forward to the Deadpool set from Hasbro. I think that's really? A really, yeah, I think it's again, another fun con piece, where it's not essential to a collection, but it's fun packaging. It's a fun way to put things together. I think
that's cool packaging. Fun. I mean, I do like that taco look, so that's really cool.
Yeah. I'm skipping the Bat-Toosie just because I think it's gimmicky. We're going to pick up probably the some stuff from NECA, like the Jason figure. Mezco has some fun stuff. Probably pick up the creature that Drake was talking about on a couple podcasts ago that he brought up about making. There's some fun stuff at Action Figure Express. I'm definitely finishing off or continuing my Thundercats Minimates. And then I'll be walking around and looking for other things at different booths. I'll definitely look at, Entertainment Earth. They got a really cool Dexter tin this year where the tin, looks like, I believe it looks like, his, air conditioner and blood slides and, a little Dexter figure to go along with it. And they've got some fun also, Venture Brothers stuff. That is always fun to check out. So it's kind of walking around, and then Lego actually also does a giveaway. So if you're around the Lego booth, have your badge scanned. is the way they usually do it, and they give away figures. And as much as I love to keep a lot of Lego stuff I get, those sometimes can go for a decent amount on eBay. They're a good item to flip to help pay for your trip.
Yeah, what they're offering, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the Man of Steel black suit Superman, the new 52 Green Arrow, Spider-Woman, and a Spider-Man, I believe.
Yeah, I think those are the four. Well, those are the four superheroes that they may be giving away.
Yeah.
But they also usually do a giveaway once a day. So those are usually fun figures that they don't usually release in sets sometimes. And it's just, you know, seeing everything and walking around. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's anything else. The DC collectible Green Lantern set, the four figures, is also something that I will try to get my hands on at some point, too.
Now, I'm very surprised. I don't see anything from the Turtles.
The Nickelodeon's doing a Shredder figure with a removable helmet.
He's all chromed out too, isn't he?
He's chromed out, but the problem is one of the things that they did last year, and I don't want to call it a bait and switch because I like Playmates a lot. I like a lot of the products they're doing, but it wasn't conveyed, at least where we were looking last year. We picked up the Leonardo, the Shadow Leonardo. The problem is the early production samples or the early promo samples they set out, it had all the joints in it. And actually the figure does have all its joints, but it's a statue. And it really wasn't advertised as a non-posable figure. So I'm not sure exactly where Shredder's going to fall yet, whether he's going to be posable or not posable. So I guess we're going to have to wait for the con to see that. But that's something to keep in mind when purchasing that figure.
There is one set I want to mention because nobody did. And a lot of people will pass by it. The Shoto Dragon Ball Z Ultimate Spark version 3-figure set. We saw these at Toy Fair this year, and they're actually 2-inch figure, but they're fully posable. I refer to them as the mini mates of action figures. They're fully posable. They're nice looking figures. I mean, they're well detailed and everything. So if you see those, pick those up because those are pretty nice looking figures.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things that, I mean, there is a good 3-4 page list online that you can find at different blogs have different lists. But I was looking at one earlier and it's got about 4 pages of, if you were to, you know, copy it onto a Word file, that has just massive amounts of exclusives. Every booth has something. So just walk around and just make sure you, you know, follow signs and things like that and look for how to get them so you don't get locked out of things. And some places have limits for the day. I know Mattel and Hasbro do that where they have a limit for the day where so they don't run out right away. So they may have 3-4, and they never announce their numbers, but about, you know, sometimes floor opens at 9 or 10 o'clock and by 2:30, sometimes stuff sold out for the day, so you might have to come back the next day. So keep an eye on that too.
You know, one that I have my eye on that if it happens to pop up on the home website or for a good price, I said I wasn't gonna do it, but because I'm a completist, that Shazam figure. I mean, stop it. I don't want it, but if it happened to see it for a good price, I'll probably pick it up. Just for the package. I wouldn't even take it out of the box. Just keep the box there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the weaker. I'd have to disagree and say it's one of the weaker exclusives that they have. You're talking about the Mattel one, right?
Yeah, I mean, just because I'm a completist. I have I have the whole thing. I mean, and the completist in me has to have it, but I don't want – it's like it's not – I'm not beating down the door to get it because Hugo Strange is more important to my collection than another Shazam, if that makes sense.
No, it does. The other thing is that you have to remember is that Hasbro and Mattel will also be selling their exclusives online afterwards too. So if you can't make it to the show, sometimes Mattel always has extra stock that they sell the next day or the next like two or three weeks later. Hasbro usually sells out during the show because they'll sell things at the same time. So we'll see what happens with those exclusives.
what I find interesting is Mattel trying, or not Marvel, once again trying the old man Logan thing after the cluster F that happened at New York Comic Con with that.
Subscription?
Yeah, you were supposed to get that with a prescription at the last minute when they were there. Everything got changed, and there were so many people at New York Comic Con that were upset with that.
Yeah, it's a hard one, and that one definitely went up, but I don't know if anybody caught it earlier this year. All the exclusives that came with their subscriptions over the last years that have skyrocketed in price until this spring when they all went up for sale in Hasbro Toy Shop. They're overstock.
For $15.
Or less in some cases. Less. So, I think
Fury's still up there.
Yeah, so, you know, play it smart. Sometimes waiting can be better in some cases.
Yeah, look at the X-Force 3-pack. I mean, they came, not all of them were supposed to come out, but they came out with the Wolverine, and unfortunately not the Archangel either, but people paid three times the amount it came out with.
I know somebody that sold that Archangel for a couple $100, and I'm sure people are kicking themselves now for that. So, yeah. I mean, try to buy from the con. Try to buy from the sites directly. If you have to pay over, be selective and you know, check eBay prices and really do your research before you splurge on something.
Yeah, because Cleo's right, because right now there are people who are saying that, who are putting it up on eBay as pre-orders. But there's no guarantee these people are actually going to get the item that you're going to be paying for in advance.
Unless it's Mattel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of places can pre-order and pick up at the show, and Mattel allows that. Some of the other places like Mezco, too, I think have done that. So some of those things can be, but,
Mattel with their lovely 10, you know, maximum of 10 per person? Yeah, thanks. And then they wonder why people get so upset.
But, I mean, moving on from the exclusives, I think we have some fun panels to take a look at, too, this year. If you guys were going, what would you want to go see?
Sons of Anarchy.
That's a fun panel. I went to it last year. They do show the opening or some scenes from the upcoming season. The whole cast is going, including Jimmy Smith this year. And they have a good time up there, and they talk about it. One of the actors really got busted on the whole time. All the women in the audience, if you watch the show, wanted to meet Juice, and everybody wants to come up and give him a hug. So he got a lot of attention. But that's a fun panel to go to. And it's in Hall H, I believe, or it was last year. It's huge. So that's a fun one. And they'll have a panel, even though it's outside of the fan geek, fanboy kind of scope of following things. Hey, I watch a show every week religiously, too. I love the show. And we're actually going to have interviews with the cast on our site, Caster's Corner, and we'll talk about it next weekend, too. Everybody else?
I'm looking forward to the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Panel, just to go ahead and get a little bit more information on characters and, you know, probably just clearing up some of the air from some of the fans have had, including ourselves, talking about the show, about so who the characters are that we've seen on there, and you know where they're gonna go with this, what villains are gonna be coming out with, you know, see what information they're gonna go ahead and try and clear up and give us.
Marvel usually puts on a really good show. They usually bring down the house. Robert Downey Jr. last year had one of the best entrances I've ever seen at Comic-Con. I mean, they threw on music and he danced his way through the crowd, up to the stage, off the stage, through the crowd again, dancing with fans. Just had a camera following them. It was, they put on a great show, and they really are the showstopper. So hopefully a TV show in that universe will get the same fanfare and the same excitement. Who knows who will show up at those panels. That's kind of fun, too. You never know who's going to show up at some of them.
Yeah, because I think they even said there's going to be a surprise guest, even in the description of that panel. So
yeah. What about you? he will be there, from what I've heard, and I think he's going to show up at the Cap and Thor panel. Don't quote me on that, though. But that's Marvel's big movie panel. It's going to be Thor and Cap on Saturday, I believe. So if he's going to show up, he's going to show up there. I just don't know in what capacity he will be. Sorry, Jay, go ahead.
So I'm probably the minority here, but I'm looking forward to see what Mattel's going to throw at us for the sub next year. Because, I mean, that's going to be my decision on, you know, if I go forward with it. I'm just, you know, it was told on their site that, you know, you're going to get a glimpse of what could happen if they make that little lightning bolt go all the way to the top, or, as Hopkins says, the bullshitometer, go all the way to the top.
Should be called their scarometer.
I mean, I just want to see what they're going to offer. I mean, it gives me the peace of mind to say, okay, well, I'm putting my investment to at least six of these figures that I know I want. And on top of that, you know, I got excited when I heard about the anniversary panel for the animated series, for Batman animated series. So, I mean, if I was going, those would be two that I'd like to try to go to. I mean, I know from what you say, it's kind of hard to get into some of them, but I'd like to try.
The Mattel panel and the Hasbro panels will probably be pretty busy. So if anybody's planning on going, those get there early, definitely. The 20th anniversary of the animated series might be one of the quieter panels. And usually Mark Hamill's somewhere doing something. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'd hope that him or Kevin Conroy or Andrew Romano, she might be on that panel, might be stopping in to visit. I think that would definitely make it a little more of an exciting panel to hear. But who knows? So.
True. Right? I mean,
oh, Hopkins, go ahead.
I already said mine. I'm the Sons of
Anarchy.
That's
it? Just one?
That's it? That's the only one?
One?
Well, I'm curious about the Hasbro because of the whole G.I. Joe debacle of last year. I'm curious to see if they're going to do something, you know, upcoming again. So, I mean, because, you know, they were they used their 2012 schedule for their 2013 releases. So I'm curious to see if they're going to announce anything else for 2014 now that the movie's, you know, done, come and gone. Other than that, that's it. I mean, I'm not a Mattel fan. I mean, like Jay said, I believe they used the bullshit-o-meter to scare people. You know, if there's something that I see in there, I know one of you guys will have a subscription, and then I'll probably snag it from you. But
that won't happen with me.
What about you, Bri?
I'm always the person who likes to. I kind of go off the beaten path because I'm so tired of the BS. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Eisner Awards. I am a big fan of those. For those who don't know what that is, it's pretty much the Oscar of comic books. I found it very interesting that there was little to no nominations for the big two, which makes me laugh like hell.
But isn't that good, though? I mean, they dominate everything else. Isn't it nice to see the smaller press?
Oh, no, that's not my point. The point is, this is like all their hotshot for the past years, all the writers and artists that they used to have are now off doing their own thing, and they're nominated for doing their own thing. Well, so good. I think it's a big FU to those two guys, And
well, it's just showing that, you know, public opinion is saying these books are kind of the.
It's not public, but it's not public opinion. That's the thing. It's a committee that chooses it.
Right.
Public. You know, let's face it. Public opinion thinks that Grant Morrison's a good writer. Point taken, you know, and he's not. So
I plan on winning one next year.
We'll nominate you.
If it was based on public opinion, I mean, you know, how shit would be nominated for this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's again, like I said, it's nice to see some of the smaller press getting it. Outside of the big two. So
no, I'm very happy about that, and you know. I'm also a Will Eisner fan, and they're having, you know, like I said, I like the smaller panels better, and I would be very interested in checking out a panel entitled Will Eisner and the Graphic Novel. You got Neil Gaiman, Scott McCloud, Jeff Smith, Dennis Kitchen, and it's going to be moderated by Paul Levitz, and they're going to be talking about, you know, the grandfather of what he termed coined the term the graphic novel, and it's also the 35th anniversary of A Contract with God, which is just a highly powerful story.
Mm-hmm.
and completely different from, you know, it's, do you think Eisen was just a spirit? No, it's, he's so much more than that. Like I said, this man just, I was infatuated with him before he passed away, and I still am, you know. So, I mean, even in New York, you know, anytime somebody has something with Eisner around here, I try and catch it. But that's, you know, that's me. I'm not, I kind of like the smaller stuff.
No, it's good to kind of, you know, let everybody know that it's not just the Hasbro. It's not just Mattel. There are other places and other things, not just the DC panels or the Marvel Studios panels. There are a lot of good things to go to. There's how to write comics. There's how to write websites. There's how to write screenplays. There are a lot of how-tos at the show, too.
Not only that, but they also go one further here by also offering basic courses on the legalese end of things to help self-publishers, which is great.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. The problem is all of these things overlap. So, again, it's schedule. It's pick things, find out what's most important to you. And if you can't make a panel, find out who's on the panel, and maybe you can contact them later. Because some of these smaller places do have contacts that you can get to. They're not the big stars. They're not the big, big people that you see that are inaccessible to a lot of people. So
yeah, and definitely map it out, like on a physical map. Because you may have one panel, one end of the room, the other one on the other one, with 2 minutes to get to each one if you're really interested. And then you're trying to make a mad dash like a madman. So,
and one more thing I want to point out, just going back to that point too, is something that they're changing a lot this year, is that the convention center holds a lot of the panels. There are different levels. There are different sections. So there's the main floor. Then there's an upstairs to that they have a lot of gaming and costuming things on. In another section, if you go upstairs through the pavilion, and I know I'm saying this all and people might not know what they are yet, but go through the pavilion, then they have a bunch of panel rooms there. Also, across the street at one of the hotels, they have stuff. And across the way, in between the convention center, and they have a little park, there's the Hilton Bayside, which most of the entertainment pieces are in. A lot of the TV shows are running their panels out of that building. And they also have stuff in the Petco Park, which is a baseball stadium, in the parking lot. And in the park itself, they're going to have things going on. So it's not just the convention center like most cons are. They're taking over most of downtown. So make sure you know where everything is and how long it takes to get from place to place, because it's not just one place you have to go to. So it's big. It's pretty big.
I mean, 1 year I'm going to go. I just don't know when, but I do want to go 1 year. It's on my bucket list.
It's addicting. I will say this. I thought, all right, I can go the first year and then I don't have to go the next year. And then it's been every year now for the past 5 years. So it's definitely addicting. But the layout doesn't change too much. I will say, you walk in certain doors. I think it's door C or D. You hit the Hasbro booth. Behind it to the right is the Mattel booth. Next to that is the Sideshow booth. Next to the Hasbro booth, there's the Gentle Giant. So, I mean, a lot of stuff doesn't change. The Warner Brothers water towers in the back of the place. So once you get the layout down, it pretty much doesn't change from year to year that much. So it's going to be a busy week. We're going to have coverage on our site, and we'll be sharing next week's podcast with you guys all the updates that I get to see, and maybe a few surprise interviews that we can squeeze into the podcast too.
Nice.
Sweet.
I don't think you'll be saying no next weekend, Hopkins. I can guarantee you that after I talk to Ron Perlman.
Ooh. Yes.
The man.
So that's all I got for this week, guys.
I think that pretty much takes us to the end of this episode. You can find some helpful links on Comic-Con on our site, and make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow Khalil on Twitter as well. Khalil, let people know how they can follow you again.
I'm going to say this week, go to our main website, which is casterscorner.com, casterscorner.com, to get to our Twitter and our Facebook, and I'll be posting as much as the servers and cell towers will let me throughout the weekend, starting Wednesday night at preview night.
Cool. So, yeah, those who are going to Comic-Con, have a good con, all. And for Mike, Jake, Leal, and Mike, this has been the Fanboy Factor. Night, all.
No.